Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:11 Irish Summer Time. Today is September 23rd, and it's been another very interesting day, dominated by news stories surrounding the new institution to be formed to deal with all the bad debts outstanding in the financial sector. Ben Bernanke told Congress that they face a recession if the rescue plan is not passed. But there is also talk about leaders in the House finding it difficult to find support for it. I guess in an election year, it's going to be slow just because politicians don't want to have their name attached to a bill that is going to balloon the national debt. And even though it may be the right thing to do, or possibly the best of a number of bad things to do in this type of environment. But looking at how markets have performed, you had some pretty weak action on stock markets right across the board, certainly not in the dynamic fashion that we've seen over the last week. But you did have the Dow down about 1.5%, same with the S&P. Pretty much all of Europe was down in excess of 1%. The Hang Seng was down almost 3% today, and we also saw that China gave up some of the advance that it's had over the last couple of days. The really big movers yesterday were in the commodity sector and in the currency markets. Well, the dollar steadied a bit in here today, and commodity markets pulled back a bit as well. Gold continues to be very firm, though. It's up around $895 in here right now, which is pretty much in the middle of its range today. Silver and platinum were a little bit weaker. It's interesting the way that gold has performed of late, because it remains relatively consistent. Yes, this is certainly the biggest reaction that we've seen in the trend to date, and it's probably going to take time before gold can generate enough of support or build enough of support before it can justify a really meaningful rally to break upwards above that $1,000 mark and really put in an impressive performance to push us well beyond that level. I have little doubt that gold is quite capable of doing that. It's just probably not going to happen in 2008 unless there is a massive surge into commodities, and I just don't see that happening. We've seen a very big advance in commodity prices this year right across the board in just about every part of the sector, and all of those commodities have entered medium-term corrections, all at slightly different periods, and some of them are in different degrees, but there isn't a commodity that I know of that's making new highs in here right now. And that's important because it was from commodity prices that the big inflationary fears were being manifested from earlier on this year. And if we see commodity prices steadying and just not surging on the upside, well, then that's going to be a bonus for those people who are concerned about on the inflationary front, because the credit crisis has developed to such an extent that there are serious deflationary problems out there, and I've seen increasing comparisons with the Japan, or the wake of the Japan asset market bubble bursting back in 1989. I don't know enough of my history to give an informed opinion on just how well that comparison matches up. But the authorities in the US do have one very obvious advantage in that they have been able to study what happened in Japan, and they now know what did not work, and they can try something different this time around. So I am more optimistic than some pundits that the US can avoid that generational long deflation that happened in Japan, and some would argue is still occurring there. Of course, it's also a very different time, and we are in an inflationary environment because commodities are in a secular bull market, although, as I said, still in a medium-term correction, which could last through the end of this year and potentially even into a good part of next year as commodities build some support following quite a large drawdown. The soft commodities, in particular the grains, are the ones which I think have the greatest potential to move on the upside, primarily because they are so much more weather related. And we certainly didn't have good weather or good growing conditions earlier on this year. And there is certainly the possibility that we're going to have lower yields into next year. So that is one area where it is worth certainly keeping an eye on how those patterns are developing, because when they do start to move, they will move very, very quickly. But the other big story here is the dollar. The dollar index encountered resistance around the 80 level, which had been support over the last 20 odd years. It really does need to push back above that 80 level to tell us that the dollar has bottomed in a really meaningful way. We've had a very, very good rally, and that rally ran out of steam last week, or probably the week before, really. And we are now looking at the dollar becoming weaker in here. And of course, people are looking at the amount of money that needs to be generated to solve the problems in the US and the amount of debt that has to be issued. And it's quite obvious that anyone who's seeking to create that amount of debt or borrow that much money has absolutely no intention of really paying it back. They're going to allow the value of the dollar to depreciate against other currencies. And in terms of purchasing power parity, the dollar is probably not going to be at the level it is now, whatever that is, for very much longer. So that does necessitate that it's a difficult argument to be bullish of the dollar beyond a very short-term bounce, and it would need some substantial intervention by central banks to push it up in the same type of manner that we saw over the last 2 months. So it does look like we're going to see the dollar getting weaker, albeit probably coming down slower than it went up in the last couple of months. That's a big support for the commodity markets. And it's also interesting for the bond markets. Bonds are down at around 117 on the 30-year and 114, or well, almost 115 on the 10-year. And they are well down from their highs, and yields have rallied quite significantly over the last couple of weeks. You'll see those long-term 10-year charts that I've posted in comment of the day today. And the 10-year yield came right down to the 2003 lows back in January, but it found support above those January lows this time around and has rallied since. And there are a number of arguments out there for why government bond prices should go significantly higher, because people are talking about the deflation and they're talking about the amount of volatility in the market, and they're talking about the need for people to hold fixed interest securities as a safe haven. But there is an incredibly large supply of bonds out there, and I've yet to be convinced that this bull market, which is extremely long in the tooth, and I would continue to argue probably ended back in 2003. We had a government bond bull, a secular bull market for in excess of 20 years, and to say that that market is capable of now pushing upwards to significant new high ground on a sustained basis, I don't see the evidence for it just yet. It looks to me much more likely that we're in a gradual basing process for government bond yields. And yes, we've had a retest of the lows, but that does not imply that the secular bull market has been restarted or kickstarted once more. I think we would need to see a far more significant rally in government bond prices to suggest that. And right now, the government bond prices, they had were overextended on the upside. They're a little bit oversold on the downside, but they would really need a big upper dynamic to offset scope for these to push that bit further. Looking at the way the equity markets continue to trade, well, the VIX index pushed up again in here today. It's still well off the highs, but it was that bit firmer in here as uncertainty continues to rule in the equity markets. This is a dangerous time for investing. And we continue to see that while some sectors have rallied very significantly, particularly the banks, and certainly some of these resources shares have have rallied really quite favorably over the last couple of weeks. Last couple of days, I should say. The actual stock markets themselves continue to look like they are in downtrends, and they need to break the progression of lower highs to indicate that the bulls are starting to regain control, and they haven't done that just yet. So that is certainly something that is very much to the forefront of investors' minds, because we have had reasonably good rallies, and for example, the FTSE had a remarkable move, and a number of other markets had very big moves on Friday, but they have so far this week failed to capitalize on those moves, and they do need to start finding support really rather quickly if we can see a more sustained rally from these lows. Then volatility will certainly start to recede, and investors will be that bit less nervous. And of course, it all hinges on just how well the intervention by the Fed and the Treasury goes, and how fast it makes its way through Congress. And I think that really is one of the pivotal factors, and is well worth keeping an eye on in the media. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but it's going to be an interesting week, and I hope you have a good evening.